you pursuing a natural lifestyle for yourself and your family? Are you concerned about the standard American diet and options available for healthcare? Are you curious about herbs or health or already practice home herbalism? You've come to the right place. My mom, Naomi Kilbrick, is a Christian clinical herbalist and owner of Laura Chi Wellness. She teaches simple ways to live in a more healthy way and to work with plants to promote and restore health. Welcome to the Family Herbalism Podcast.
Welcome back to the Family Herbalism Podcast and to Herba Remedium students. Today we have a fun subject lined up, but before we get going on that, I wanted to give you a little bit more information about the Herba Remedium program for people who might be interested in that. So if you're listening to this on the podcast as this episode is being released, then the Herba Remedium program that I've been leading up to has not opened for enrollment yet, which means you still have time to learn all about it and decide if this is something you would be interested in joining and in participating in. So Herba Remedium is an herbal school run by Mindy Capella, and it is offering at this point in time a one-year program to people who are interested in helping their families to be well using herbs. And so this one-year program is set up to introduce basic concepts of health to people along with guidance on getting started in creating all kinds of herbal medicine. So you'll learn about salves and infusions and tinctures and all kinds of basic herbal recipes, as well as what herbs that you can use to create these remedies for basic health for your family. And so this is going to be a 12-month program. And starting in June, we're going to be enrolling for the new year that will start in August. And so if you join the live program when it starts in August, you'll be able to participate in the live classes as they're being produced for the coming year. But it's also going to be set up so that you can join at any point. So if you miss the August start date, that's not a big problem. You can join at any time and watch the program at your own pace as a self-study course. So at this point in time, we're looking at about 70 hours for the entire program. It may end up actually being more because content is still being produced. And this will include 3 hours a month of class time, pre-recorded videos, homework, and opportunities to earn a certificate that you can take home at the end of this. The cost will be $864 or $60 a month for 12 months, plus an optional kit to get you started with the herbs if you would prefer to have them just mailed to you as one set. And there's going to be tons of topics covered in this program. Everything from energetics and herbalism history to the basics of harvesting, drying, and storing herbs. There will be herb walk videos. And there will be assignments that lead you through the process of writing your own monographs or information about herbs that you'll get to collect over time. There will again be instruction on medicine making. And in fact, some of the classes actually walk you through step by step. This is how to do it. So there's tons of guidance, contact with the teachers, and subjects will include things like sleep, nutrition, common viruses, first aid, pain and inflammation, allergies, liver and gallbladder, another digestive health, and the nervous system with things like adaptogens that we hear lots about, reproductive health, urinary and lymphatic health, and of course, recipes for like every subject that we talk about. So Mindy is leading these 3-hour classes, and then all of these podcasts that you are hearing right now in this season 4, are going to be included as pre-recorded classes as part of the program, but students will not only get to listen and view this podcast because the video is being recorded also for that purpose, but there will be additional resources that I have collected for each of the topics that I share on, and those will be provided to students as well. So you'll get the print off of that with all the embedded links. And so tons of resources for you to add to your collection of knowledge as you learn how to care for your family. So I highly encourage you to check it out. That's at herbaremedium.com. You can learn more information about the program as it's being released. I have the link in the show notes, and I will be revealing more information as we get closer to that June time period when we start to bring people into and enroll people into the New Year's program. All right, so today we're talking about chronic constipation. Now, I know that constipation is familiar to many people, and for a lot of us, you know, we just disregard it as an unpleasant but minor symptom. And sometimes people will live their entire lives with constipation and just feel that it's an inconvenience that they have to deal with and don't realize that it's actually a problem. Others are so used to constipation that if they happen to have a normal stool, it feels bizarre. I actually recently had a client who expressed to her mom after a normal bowel movement that she thought she had diarrhea. So that's how much of a difference constipation can be for some people, where it's not just a one-time thing, but it's a way of living that it has become for them. So those are the people that I'm really talking to today. Although minor constipation on a short-term acute basis that's associated with illness or dehydration or something, those people who are impacted by that can certainly benefit from this conversation, because everything that we talk about today can also apply to you, even if it's a short-term thing. So let's talk about what constipation is, actually, because there are a number of different factors involved in a normal stool, and even having one of these things off balance can cause complications down the road. And so we want to look at the overall picture of how things are going. So constipation is defined as having fewer than 3 bowel movements a week, or having hard, lumpy, or dry stools, having to strain to eliminate, or feeling like your bowels are blocked or you can't finish passing stool. So you think you're done, you leave the bathroom, and you realize, I still feel like there's something there. When this happens on a regular basis for at least 2 months, this is considered chronic constipation. Some health experts actually suggest that if you aren't regularly having at least one bowel movement a day, or if you have any of these other symptoms, that you also have constipation. So if your stools are difficult to move, if they are not brown log-like shapes, then they would also consider you to be constipated. And by that definition, there are probably a lot more people complaining about or having this complaint of constipation than the number that we actually count at doctor's offices. Another indicator of bowel health is the color of your stool. If you have poops that are dark brown, you know, if you look that up on Google, you're going to see warnings about blood being in the stool. But for a lot of people, the majority of people who have very dark brown stools, that's actually a sign of too much bile production. And this can be an indicator for constipation, because the stool is sitting, being processed in your lower digestive tract so long that it's able to collect extra bile. But on the other hand, we have white or pale stools, and this can be a sign of constipation that's further back up the canal, so to speak. So you may feel like you're passing stools on a regular basis, but there could be a blockage up the digestive tract. So then the stools that are further up are getting the bile, but the stools that are actually coming out are lacking bile. So if you have pale stools, it may be that you've been constipated for a long time. Next week, I'm going to be talking more about the gallbladder and the liver and malabsorption and some of these other factors that can influence the color of stool. So I'm not going to get into that a lot today, but it's something to keep in mind as we discuss this. It is estimated that about 4 million Americans of all ages experience constipation on a regular basis. And it's actually the most common complaint, common gastrointestinal complaint that brings people to the doctor, which results in about 2.5 million doctor's visits every year. It's estimated to impact about 30% of kids, 16% of adults, and then the number doubles again after age 60, back to about 33% at any given time. But as I've hinted at, constipation isn't just an inconvenience, it's actually a fairly serious problem. Not only can it cause pain and indigestion and even hemorrhoids for some people, it can also lead to malabsorption of nutrients, underactive thyroid, estrogen dominance, and difficulty detoxing, which can lead to even more serious problems as a person gets older. So pooping on a daily basis and having comfortable poops that are the right color are actually really important. Herbalist Matthew Wood says that constipation is often caused by one of three things, and he puts every other possible cause of constipation into these categories. Number one is neuromuscular weakness. Number two is wrongs of secretion. And the third is improper diet. So for example, if you're not drinking enough water or eating enough fiber or minerals, that would impact the quality of your stools. This would fall under improper diet. Lack of enzymes and acids would fall under wrongs of secretion, and neuromuscular weakness can lead to or can cover stress, weak tissues, and inconsistent peristalsis, which I'll explain in a little bit. As you're learning about the different deficiencies and excesses that can lead to constipation, a helpful question to ask is, what needs to be added in or taken out? And depending on the cause, you might need more of a certain food or water, or benefit from astringents, tonics, demulcents, or other categories of herbs. So in today's episode, I'm going to be talking about straightforward chronic constipation. If you have alternating constipation or diarrhea, I would encourage you to check out season 3, episode 63 on the podcast where I talk about IBS, and the link is in the additional resources for students. One of my favorite nutritional podcasts, which is called Functional Nutrition Podcast with Erin Holt, so functional with a K, she likes to talk about how digestion is a top to tail process. So if you have chronic constipation, there's a good chance you have other imbalances going on in the whole digestive process as well. So in addition to what I share here, it's important to look at other aspects of what and how you eat and how you process your food. For the purpose of this episode, we're really focusing on the large intestine and colon, along with other tissues that impact them, like the nervous system and juices coming from the liver and gallbladder, or the pancreas and the stomach. But just know that this is a simplified view of what's going on. And so if you've already used a lot of the techniques and tips that I've talked about here and you're still having trouble, there may be something else going on further up the digestive tract that needs to be addressed. So I'm going to break down the possible reasons why someone might experience constipation, focusing again on the lower digestive tract, because this is really important when you're trying to figure out what to do about it. If you Google search what to do about constipation, you're going to see a lot of talk about laxatives and fiber, but if you just throw those at your colon, you're going to end up quite possibly in a lot of trouble. It can make the situation worse if those aren't actually the cause of the problem. I have a number of clients who have dealt with constipation, and they've tried that. They've tried eating extra fiber, and it actually backs them up more and causes more pain. So it's not always the answer. It's better to understand what led to the problem in the first place so that you can use less of the right remedy that's actually well suited to you. All right, so I'm going to break down these potential causes into those three categories that Matthew Wood spoke about, beginning with neuromuscular weakness. Now, in the word neuromuscular, we see neuro as in nerves or nervous system and muscular as in muscles. So there's a connection between our nervous system and our muscles. And of course, the muscles are really important when it comes to moving food products through our digestive system. This is part of what we call the gut-brain axis. There is a direct connection between the nerves throughout our body and the muscles in our gut. And so the health of your gut will influence the function of the nervous system and hormones, and also vice versa. The health of your emotions and other aspects of your nervous system are going to impact your gut. So I like to break this down into two different possibilities, one being stress and the other being peristalsis. We could consider these as being more physical and emotional aspects of neuromuscular health when it comes to our gut. Looking at stress first, what I want to draw attention to are the vagal nerves. We have a set of nerves running down our spinal system, our spinal cord, and these all branch off to different organs in the body, including the lower digestive tract. And if those nerves are blocked, or if they are dysfunctioning because attention is being drawn to a different area of the body, then we need to focus on vagal nerve tone. And this is something that I have mentioned throughout a number of podcasts, largely related to things like PTSD and chronic stress. But we know that stress and dysregulation of the vagal nerves also impacts our gut. So think about this in terms of traveling. If you go for a car ride, you go for a trip, you're leaving your comfortable bathroom behind. It could even just be for a day. You leave the house and now your routines are completely disrupted. For some people, this doesn't bother them at all. And for others, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you leave the house, you're not going to go poop. So you get all locked up, and this is because your body does not feel safe. Now your vagal nervous system has become dysregulated. Another reason that could impact this is if you are feeling too busy to poop. So you may not actually feel stressed or uncomfortable in the sense of, I'm not in the right place, but it could just be that you don't have time. And usually these are the people that are stressed out. They don't have time to go pee. They don't have time to eat. Their entire circadian rhythm is completely messed up. And this is going to impact when and how they go number two as well. So stress in that sense, even if you're not scared or feeling uncomfortable, any kind of stress dysregulation there is going to impact how and when you use the bathroom. And then in a more physical sense, but still affecting the vagal nerves, is overeating. Overeating actually causes more constriction and more tension in the muscles. It puts a lot more pressure and stress on the nerves that are surrounding the muscles. And so then it becomes difficult for the muscles to work correctly because the nerve signals are not firing correctly. And so that can cause backup as well. Now, herbs that I like to work with when a person is either anxious or stressed out and their vagal nerves are not functioning correctly, in addition to polyvagal exercises, side note, check out polyvagal exercises, Suki Baxter and Nick and Jessica Ortner on YouTube. Great resources on just resetting your nervous system. Herbs that can be supportive. Valerian is really great for the tense person whose colon is spasming from tension. And oftentimes what you'll see is narrow stools for this person. Catnip and lavender also can be helpful. And chamomile also for this person. And wood betony, which is related to the mint family, and mints are always great for digestion, but wood betony in particular is helpful for the person who feels disconnected from their physical body. Like their head's out in la la land and we've got things going on and there's no time to pay attention to what's going on down here. So valerian, catnip, lavender, and wood betony would be my top choices for them. Okay, now looking at peristalsis. Peristalsis, what is that? This is the rhythmic muscle contractions that squeeze food particles all the way through your digestive tract in a wave-like motion. So if you're watching the video, it's like squeezing from the top down in a wave-like contraction. When you swallow, you push your food far down enough that your autonomic nervous system can take over. And from there, you don't have to think about your food until you feel the waves of pressure on the other end, indicating that it's time to use the bathroom. Peristalsis is the highest in the lower gut. It's at most active in the lower gut about half an hour after eating. So if you need to train yourself, if your peristalsis is completely out of whack, you can begin to train that muscle action by going to sit on the toilet about a half an hour after you eat. But definitely you want to go as soon as you feel the urge, because if you deny your body the satisfaction of relieving that urge, your body will learn that this urge is nothing to be listened to, and you actually numb out and cause dysregulation in that part of the nervous system. You can also use a squatty potty or a stool to put your feet on to raise your feet up, which creates a more comfortable angle to be able to relieve yourself if you're having difficulty when you go. Another step that you can do that's just a practical measure for improving peristalsis is to focus on eating three bigger meals a day and avoiding snacks between meals, because this will, again, add just enough weight and pressure to the tract so that peristalsis is stimulated. If you have a constant amount of smaller amounts of food, it's a little more confusing to that muscular contraction process. Coffee can work for some people who need stimulation to that muscles. You'll find that if you drink a cup of coffee and then suddenly you need to use the bathroom, that's because your body is needing a little bit of assistance with that peristalsis action. If you drink coffee and nothing happens, then chances are peristalsis is not the source of your problem if you have constipation. Exercise and movement also support this process. And this is where laxatives can help. If laxatives do not help, then probably peristalsis is just fine. So again, like coffee, it's very similar. What you're looking for is, does it work? Does it not work? This will tell you what's going on with your muscles. Some herbs that have a laxative effect include barberry, blackberry, rhubarb root, black walnut, chickweed, plantain, rose hips, red clover, red raspberry, marshmallow, sage, yellow dock, licorice, boneset, aloe vera, angelica, cayenne, ginger, prickly ash, and all the mints. That does not mean that every single one of these are going to work for you. So if you want help choosing herbs that are actually going to be well fitted to your tissue state, then you may want to work with an herbalist or take classes to learn more. Selfless little plug there for the Family Herbalist Program. I do want to say, though, that Senna and Cascara Sagrada are often recommended for constipation, but those are pretty strong laxatives in the herbal world. So I would hang off on those a little bit, test out some of the more mild ones just to see how it impacts your gut, like the marshmallow, like the plantain and chickweed. Try those out for a little bit and see what happens. And if you're having a lot of pain and you just need things to move, maybe Senna and Cascara Sagrada would be more appropriate for you. Another option is castor oil packs over the abdomen. These can also stimulate peristalsis as well. Okay, moving on to the second category, we have wrongs of secretion. So here we're looking at different products that are naturally made by the body to help with digesting our food. And I'm also going to go through bacteria in this category because we need a good amount of healthy bacteria to maximize nutrient absorption. And if we are not absorbing and processing food correctly, guess what? We get constipation. So we're going to look at deficient enzymes, deficient bile, deficient stomach acid, and dysbiosis, which is the bacteria problem. Starting with enzymes, these are proteins that are specifically designed to break down food particles. And they're actually responsible for every single activity, every single cellular process in our body. So we need a wide variety of them. If your constipation is also accompanied by bloating, gas, or heartburn, you may have an enzyme deficiency, especially if you're not eating foods that have enzymes in them. Enzymes are found in many fruits and vegetables and grains, and a lot of them are made in the pancreas naturally. So if you have a healthy pancreas, you may be getting plenty right from there. But if you have diabetes or another health condition where your pancreas is not functioning correctly, it may actually be beneficial to take an enzyme supplement. The next one is deficient bile. Bile is made from cholesterol in our liver, and it is sent to the gallbladder to be stored there until it is needed. We use it to further break down food particles, especially fats and proteins. And then we also use bile to eliminate waste products. Bile is what gives our poop the brown color. So I'll be talking more about bile next week because I'll be highlighting the liver and gallbladder. But for now, it's important to know that if you don't have enough bile, or if your bile is getting sludgy, this can lead to constipation as well as pain under the ribs. That's another key symptom to look for if you're trying to figure out what is causing your constipation. If you try enzymes and it's not helping, if your poop is a pale color, if you're experiencing the pain under your ribs, especially after eating protein or fat-rich meals, and you also experience constipation, then certain herbs can be helpful here, especially bitters and moistening carminatives. Bitters are often found in dark leafy greens, and if you cook them up in a little bit of butter or you add them to salad and eat those early on in your meal, that will prepare the way for your body to process those heavier proteins and fats. Yarrow is a bitter that moves blood to the pelvic floor and lower abdomen, so that can be drank in tea form as well. Other herbs include cinnamon, fenugreek, fennel, chamomile, basil, and dandelion greens. One of my favorite ways to work with fennel for kids for digestive upset like this is actually in essential oil form, where you dilute the fennel and apply it to the lower belly. And oftentimes kids who are experiencing constipation will have a bowel movement not long after that. And you can also put fennel, it tastes great, so it's got a sweet flavor. You can also add that to a tea. You can use coriander as well. And then hops and chamomile and rose hips also have a slight bitter stimulating quality there. And so these can all help to stimulate the bile release and aid on that end of digestion. Another thing that can help with bile production and release is adding raw apple cider vinegar or a spoonful of lemon juice to your water each morning. If you do this before you eat every day, you're going to really stimulate that production of bile even ahead of your breakfast. And then we have deficient stomach acid. Stomach acid is produced by the lining of the stomach, and it is responsible for much of the initial process of breaking down food. We often associate stomach acid with heartburn, with GERD. I did actually create an episode, believe it or not, all about heartburn. That's in season 3, episode 54. But we also know that having enough stomach acid is really important, and that without it, we can become vulnerable to viruses and bacteria and fungi, and also irritating problems like constipation. So one of the best things you can do to help make sure that your stomach acid stays at just the right amount has nothing to do with herbs. It has to do with medication. A lot of medications, over-the-counter pain medications, calcium tablets, proton pump inhibitors, like heartburn medications, can actually dysregulate the stomach acid enough that you can cause problems with absorption of nutrients and cause other symptoms further on down the road, such as constipation. So making sure that you're only using these medications if absolutely needed is really important for long-term health. And then some common herbs that can increase and balance digestive juices include cinnamon, chamomile, cayenne, ginger, and red clover. Now, if you have heartburn, some of these may not be appropriate for you. So we're just talking about constipation and narrowing down some of the symptoms to figure out what herbs and foods might be beneficial to you for constipation. But if you have heartburn, I recommend checking out the other episode. And then finally, when it comes to improper secretions, we have dysregulated microbiome or dysbiosis. And this means not having enough helpful bacteria or having too much bad bacteria. We do need a wide variety of bacteria for proper digestion of food. And between eating an unhealthy diet and having too many antibiotics, this can lead to dysbiosis and constipation for some people. And maybe this is one of the more common reasons in America that people have this problem. I don't know. So dealing with dysregulated microbiome, simple things like drinking fermented kombucha or eating fermented foods can be supportive. Making sure that you're getting prebiotic fibers like onions, garlic, artichokes, sunchokes, root vegetables, apples, green bananas. These are all really supportive to feeding healthy bacteria. And then if you end up having antibiotics or you know that your bacterial, your microbiome is imbalanced, then taking probiotics for a period of time may be supportive to you. And, you know, there are tons of different products out there. They're available. And I often get asked, what do you recommend? But from what I have seen and understand, that it's actually more important to keep alternating species. So you're getting a wide variety of different types of bacteria. So you're basically just feeding the garden that is your microbiome with a lot of different types that's going to help overall with digestion, including reducing constipation. And when you're choosing, you want to make sure that your product has at least 1 billion CFUs, which is units of different bacterial colonies. So at least 1 billion for each dose that you're taking every day. All right, let's talk about the final category of things that can cause constipation. And this is improper diet, beginning with deficient water. You could have the most excellent muscle action, the lowest stress level of anybody, and all the perfect levels of digestive juices, but if you're dehydrated, you're out of luck. A dry state causes constipation because we need fluids to help smooth the way through the digestive tract. And so in this case, you need to make sure that you're simply drinking enough water, and that could be the easiest thing that you do to improve your rate and movement and comfort of passing stools. You should be drinking at least half of your body weight in ounces of water. So that's step number one. But for some people, they're drinking all the water and they are still experiencing a dry tissue state. They might be drinking a gallon of water and they're actually having a dry scalp and itchy skin and just other signs of dryness. So in this case, they may actually be deficient in electrolytes because electrolytes are what we use to pull water into our cells and actually create nourishment, create moisture in our tissues, create energy, and fire all the different processes that are happening inside of our cells. Electrolytes can be purchased in supplement form, but you can also add things like lemon juice and honey and vinegar and baking soda and different things to your water to help support your electrolyte balance and bring water into your body. Lemon water is a really simple one. Adding lemon to your water every day can support that. Other things that can help support moisture, because it's not just water, is also fat. So healthy fat supports healthier bowel movements by nourishing the tissues. And this can look like taking a fish oil supplement. I love cod liver oil for this purpose. It can also look like changing out your oil content, so or your oil intake, and trading out your vegetable oils for healthier olive oils. And coconut oil is a little bit on the drying side, but it can be great for cooking. It's still a much healthier and nourishing option than working with vegetable oils and seed oils. Okay, so we've talked about the fats, we've talked about the electrolytes. There are also a lot of herbs that we consider to be demulcents. These are things, plants that add moisture to the body. And in fact, if you put demulcents into room temperature water and you sit them on the windowsill for a few hours, you're going to see little streamers. When you stir them, you're going to see streamers of mucus coming out of them. Those are the demulcent properties that are super nourishing to our digestive tract. So these include herbs like slippery elm, which also tones relaxed tissues, licorice, marshmallow, hibiscus, fenugreek, fennel, mullein, chickweed, oats, flax, and aloe. I also want to put nettle into this category. It is drying, it is not demulcent, but it does help to draw moisture into cells because it does have electrolytes. It also has iron and iron deficiency we're going to get to in a minute, but that can be connected here as well. Now, along the same lines of drinking water, one easy trick for someone who has just simple short-term constipation is to drink a glass of warm water and then follow that by some deep relaxed breathing and circular massage in a clockwise pattern around the stomach. That loosens up the stools and helps lubricate the path and kind of stimulate that peristalsis action. Moving on to the second part of improper diet is deficient fiber from fruits and vegetables. Yes, fiber is really important. Number one, it bulks up the poop, so it helps to make it easier to pass, stimulating peristalsis, but it also cleans the colon. And a deficiency can cause constipation because there isn't enough bulk to stimulate the anal sphincter, and also because there's nothing to sweep out the sticky bits, which is totally gross, but very true. And for some people, I will say, especially those with damaged intestines or a dry tissue state, fiber can make the situation worse. So don't just throw fiber at it. It has to be for the right person. If you don't eat enough vegetables, maybe this is a problem for you. But you want to make sure that you're drinking enough water first. Otherwise, you're going to bulk up the poop and then it's going to get stuck. So different sources of fiber include psyllium husks, which are from the plantain family. You can get powdered psyllium and start with small amounts, but gradually work up to a spoonful added to your food every day to help bulk up your stools. Figs, prunes, bananas, bran, chia, flaxseed, dates, beans, peas. These are all really great sources of fiber. Juicing beets, carrots, greens, apples, these all can be supportive too. But I actually like adding those to smoothies rather than juicing them entirely, because then you lose a lot of the fiber and that kind of destroys part of the point. So it can be stimulating, yes, but you want to get that fiber. So go ahead and add those things to your smoothies to add in some daily fiber. And then two herbs that can be especially helpful here are burdock root and dandelion root. You can add these to your teas. And also, if you tincture them or buy a tincture of burdock root or dandelion root, excuse me, and you see little white particles at the bottom, that's actually indicative of the inulin fiber that came from that plant. So that's a good thing. That's not a sign of aging. That little cloudy white product at the bottom of the tincture is a good thing. So just shake it up, suck it right up into that dropper and take that whole thing. So if too much fiber does bother you, you want to make sure that you're not chronically dehydrated, first of all. And if you do have a history of damage to your intestines, one thing you can do to make sure that you still get fiber in your diet is to at least partially cook your vegetables. Steam them, you can lightly boil them, you can even bake them with a little bit of water, kind of roast them. But in this way, you're going to partially break down the fiber so that they're easier for your body to access, but you're still getting the nutrients. And then deficient magnesium and iron can also be a cause. Magnesium and iron are needed to help transport other things like oxygen and just helping with stimulating peristalsis. So these are a couple of important minerals that are commonly deficient in people that we can support with other food sources. So if you have low iron and you have constipation, and you don't actually need to get tested for this, by the way. If you have not been tested for your iron level, you can do a simple trick by either looking at the inside of your mouth, pull down your lip, and you look at the color of your gum or the inside of your lip. You can also pull down your eyelid and look at the pink conjunctiva underneath your eyeball. And if those areas of your mucosal tissue are very pale, or your tongue is even very pale, then you may actually be iron deficient. So that's a really good indicator. And nettle and yellow dock are very high in iron. You can also get blackstrap molasses, which is very high in iron, and you can infuse yellow dock into blackstrap molasses, get all fancy here, for some extra iron. Red meats are high in iron. To access them, you can combine them with tomatoes and oranges because the citric acid helps to break down the iron. You can eat spinach and other dark leafy greens, and many seeds are rich in iron as well. Low magnesium is very common, especially in cycling women. You get to the end of the month and suddenly you're craving chocolate. Why? Because your body needs extra magnesium during your menstrual cycle, during your bleeding time. And so that's why we're craving the chocolate. Usually it's because we actually need the magnesium. Low magnesium can cause constipation. So if you need some extra magnesium, different sources include actually many dark greens that are rich in iron are also rich in magnesium. So dark leafy greens, nuts and seeds, chocolate, avocados, fish, bananas, and plain yogurt are some really good sources of magnesium. If you do want to supplement with iron, I recommend taking a liquid supplement because liquid irons are less likely to cause constipation. If you are iron deficient, you may need some iron, but if you take iron pills, you may reverse the problem and actually cause constipation. So liquid iron and magnesium sprays are my favorite, where you apply them, or lotions where you apply them to your skin. This can be really supportive if you have trouble sleeping at night. You can put that on your skin before you go to bed. But then also, if you're having a lot of trouble having a bowel movement, magnesium citrate is the form that can stimulate bowel action. So those are my top three categories of reasons why you can have constipation, and some practical tips and herbs and foods that can be supportive. If that feels totally overwhelming and you're like, I have constipation, this is a lot of information, I don't know where to start, you can go back and listen to this again and take notes. You can also check out my other episodes on irritable bowel syndrome and heartburn and calendula, which will give some added tips. Or you can contact me for more information on setting up an appointment where we can really dig into what is going on with your digestive system and choose some herbs and foods that are best suited to you. You can learn more about that by visiting www.laureltreewellnessllc.com. Thank you so much for being here today. I appreciate every single one of you and all of your listens and your reviews. And I appreciate it when you share with your loved ones. I get to hear feedback through email, which is really exciting, about how these podcasts have impacted your life. And that means a lot to me. If you ever want to reach out for either podcast topic requests or to share with me the impact of these episodes, I would love to hear from you. You're always welcome to reach out at laureltreewellness@gmail.com. I hope you all have a wonderful week, and I will see you back here very soon.
The Family Herbalism Podcast is created for educational purposes only. You are responsible for any and all medical and health decisions you choose to make. If you experience a medical emergency, please contact appropriate medical providers. To receive herbalist support, please visit www.laureltreewellnessllc.com. If you enjoy this podcast and find it helpful, please share it with your friends and family. Thank you for listening.